On Sunday mornings in this term, and those of you who have come up in recent weeks from his Diz, you can know that we tackle a theme every term. We have a series that's unveiled at the beginning with huge fanfare. And if you have for all 10 weeks, you get 10,000 rand cash. You just got to try and get it out of Tiam at the back, who's a student. So it's proving quite difficult to get the cash out of him, but if you can, do that. So last Sunday, the guitarist who was on stage this morning with the acoustic guitar and the crazy headphones, he preached on experiencing the presence of God in worship. And so right where you are at your table, I want you to think a little bit and talk a bit about how did you experience God in worship today? Okay, maybe you saw that crazy old man holding up some cue cards, which were the 7 points from last Sunday's sermon, if you're in the service. And so how did it go? Did you experience God? What helped? What hindered? Go. So if anyone from any table wants to come up and share something that was shared, I'm thinking a food team might want to. I'm just thinking aloud, hashtagging. Anyone else who wants to come and share something of what your group came up with? Something that you heard shared? Or Micah, kick us off. Something that your group came up with or shared, something that you heard? Okay, think next, because you'll notice that we do the army volunteer thing here when you don't really volunteer, but you suddenly find yourself on stage.
Yay! Hi again. What my group was saying is like, they personally experienced God through like praying before they sleep, you know, dancing and singing again, and I think it was dancing.
Cool. Anyone else had something that you feel should be shared with the wider group from your table? And eating, you experienced God through eating. Using your senses, we experienced in that first week. Anyone else who's at this table who's going to be sharing? Emma's all talked out. Yeah, come up.
Well, most of us said that during worship, we just felt like an overwhelming sense of peace.
Nice. Awesome. Is that from God? I doubt it's from the evil one. Like, I'm the devil. Have peace. Have joy. Have love. No, when that comes, it's like, whoa, you know? And it's not like you've just had a cappuccino or a roast or a pudding, you know? Because that can also bring a sense of peace and joy. You know, this is like, wow, this is supernatural. Someone else? Futhi? Anyone else? Someone else? Futhi? Anyone else? Futhi, there's a few minutes left. Futhi to me, Futhi to... Futhi, yes, do you want to share something? Come and share something on behalf of your group. A bird whispered in my ear that you were ready for that. I knew you wanted to share.
Anyway, what I feel like, how I experience God in worship is just like, you know, usually when you come to church, you really didn't want to wake up in the morning. You're like, oh, man, why do I have to wake up early today? I'm waking up early tomorrow for school and stuff like that. Yeah, you come here all mopey, and then when I get into worship, it's just like I feel the energy just coming in. It fills me like a fire burning on the inside, you know? Has anyone ever experienced that before?
Yes, yes, yes. I get it from the back table, front table too, okay? So I'm sure the rest of you want to share, but this chocolate really needs to go away from me, because I'm going to eat this and I'm honestly trying to share like a message today. And it is the best chocolate in the world. Kit Kat Chunky, there is nothing like it. It's not that anorexic little Kit Kat. This is the big chunky one. You rarely taste the chocolate. This is chocolate on steroids. You just have to come up and recite the mission statement, the youth mission statement, which is the church mission statement. So even the guys up from his kids, his diz, I mean, would know it. Who's willing to try? Come on up and try. Word for word, with the commas in the right place and pregnant pauses where appropriate. Just kidding.
We see lives, communities, and society transformed through discipleship in the word, the presence, and the power of God.
Okay, that's it. No, it's not. I have another one. Who's keen? Who's keen? Your hand was up first this morning. No, come on up then. And the next person up here is going to be someone who doesn't have their picture on the wall yet. Okay, that's just a hint.
Okay, so we see lives, communities, and societies because it's transformed through discipleship in the word, the presence, and the power of God. Thank you.
Well done, Asher. Well done. Okay, so someone who's just joined us. Yes, come on up, young man. This is going to be amazing.
We see lives, communities, and societies transformed in the word, the presence, and the power of God.
Man, I'm going to give it to you. Well done. Well done. Okay, let's have another one. Someone who's... anyone? Who wants this? Come on up, Lex. I doubt you're going to get this right. I'm going to be eating this one.
We see lives, communities, and societies transformed through the word, the presence, and the power of God.
Oh, man, you guys all know this. This is not fair. Oh, wait, there's a Lone Ranger one. One more. Hands in the air. Come on up, Sarah. I'm so going to eat this one. In fact, I'm going to open it while you eat.
Okay, let me try this. Okay, we see lives, societies, and communities transformed through the discipleship, the power, and the presence of God.
Well done, well done. Right, now, this table has a chance to earn themselves each an award by saying it together. If you can all, and I'm kind of going to see if you're doing it, and I'll give you each something to snack on. How about that? Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
We see lives, communities, and society transformed through the discipleship in the word, the presence, and the power of God.
Give yourselves a high five. Let's try another table. Here we go. Here we go, people. Table in the front.
We see lives, communities, societies transformed in discipleship, in the power and the presence of God.
1, 2, 3, 4. Well done, well done. Okay, that's it. Time is up. No, it's not up. Right, how are you guys going to do? I don't know, but I think he might help.
Communities and societies transformed through discipleship in the word, the presence, and the power of God.
Wow, give them a round of applause. Let's try that again. Okay, you guys at the back here. Are you ready, peeps? I think I'm going to keep these for myself. 3, 2, 1.
We see lives, communities, and societies transformed through discipleship.
Well done, well done. Well, that's it. Well done, everybody. Everyone enjoy your... Oh, wait, there's a few more here. Let's see if Ash's table is ready. Yeah, I doubt they're going to do this. Thank you to Debbie, who did a magic trick and made individual prizes available out of a cupboard somewhere. Who knows where? I wouldn't eat those things because we did spray for rats and stuff this week. So, but you knew that, right? So, well done. Well done. We see lives, humans, extraterrestrials, transformed through discipleship in the Word, right? And we did that in the first 3 weeks of this series, discipleship in the Word. I think it's on, it's not on a slide. We then spent another 3 weeks looking at the presence, because we believe it's in the presence that we changed and transformed. And now this is the start of a whole new part of this, that last bit through the power of God. I don't know if any of you know who this individual is. Some of us grew up with comics, with Flash Gordon, and here we go with what the TV series looks like. So cool, right? And so this ordinary fella, you know, without abs, without too much claim to fame, he's a laboratory rat, basically. He gets zapped when this particle accelerator explodes. When I do my particle accelerator experiments, I normally put a dome over it to stop other people in the neighborhood getting hurt. But from now on, I'm going to open it up because it seems like if that just gets set free, that lightning bolt can turn just a normal human into something really super and fast. I mean, he's actually faster than Sean on the hockey pitch. And there isn't anyone else in South Africa faster than Sean. That's actually a picture of Sean at hockey. And with these new superhuman powers, he goes about dealing with mutants and criminals and doing some incredible things where, because of his speed, it's as if time slows down. I want you to think of some stories like this from media that are examples. So I've used The Flash. Who else in media is a human who's been endowed with superhuman powers? So at your table, try and come up with about 300 examples from television or movies. So, some nice discussion at some of the tables, because we're talking about humans who get extra superhuman powers. So Thor probably doesn't. He looks very human, but he may not classify in a way because he's from another planet, right? But maybe some of you thought of Hulk, right? So he's a little like in this category. Iron Man, I think it's a little bit like put on and not quite the same. The X-Men, would you agree? So this group said, not them, why not?
Mutant.
They're mutants, good point, good pure point. What about the heroes in that TV series? Who came up with that one? Trent, I think you maybe did. So just normal people that can have fire explode in their hands or whatever. Then this is real, the rest are imaginary, but the Incredibles. I've actually met this family. Our family, the Incredibles, because there's six. No, there's five. Yes, it's us. That, whoever that is. Yeah, Captain America, the Winter Soldier, right? Yeah, I heard Spider-Man thrown around from a spider bite, I guess. Watch out for spiders. You, this table, I heard Green Lantern. He's probably, apparently, the only Green Lantern who's human with that powers, if I know enough of the backstory. Is there two of them? Electra, I just had to put in for the girls, and you can't show many girls superheroes in youth because it's too over the top and rated non-13. There is, yes, Daredevil. Not sure what his backstory is for the life of me at the moment, but somehow he's got that super vision power. And then the guy that hasn't been released yet, but very soon is Ant-Man. And he can go down and be really small. Okay, so interesting memory issue. I want you at your table to experience some stories of God's power. So open up the envelope. There's R1 million in that envelope. There are actually 7 stories. Now, you might think if I tell you Bible stories of God's power, I'll go straight to Jesus. And we heard that in worship. Do you remember when Belinda was singing a song, those of you who were there, she sang about Jesus healing and mending lives and stuff and raising the dead even. But I actually want to go to a guy by the name of Elisha, and there are 7 stories in Elisha's life that you're going to read around your group. And are you good to go? Right, so give each person one. The person's going to read it, and the person is going to share the story with the rest of the group, just a short version. Right, can we think about this for a little bit? So most of you have heard about Elijah. Remember the prophet in the Old Testament? He's that guy on that mountain, and fire comes down from heaven, and whoosh. 18 or so miracles in his life. Someone counted them and said there's 18 miracles that he did, and he's a human. He's not like a superhuman. He wasn't bitten by a spider or zapped by a shark. He's just a guy, you know, close to God, but a guy. Someone is there when this guy disappears to heaven in a chariot. It's a cool way to die because you don't have to do the whole casket and all that stuff. So as he's going up, this young guy, his apprentice, the prophet's apprentice, says, may I inherit like double your portion? Guess how many miracles this dude did? 36. Same number as tomatoes in an all gold jar. How amazing is that of tomato sauce? Well, no, that's not my point. Double the number of miracles that his predecessor did just because he asked for it. I mean, how amazing is that? And all those stories were in 2 chapters, and I only took a few of them. I kid you not. I knew there wouldn't be more than 7 around the table, so I went down from the 10 miracles in the 2 chapters of 2 Kings to just pick a few type thing. And so your first one that you read was parting the river. I mean, not only did God do that through Moses when the people went across the Red Sea, but it actually happened in both Elijah and Elisha. You just got to take a cloak, roll it up, smack a water, and voila, you can walk from Durban to Sydney. It's a lot longer than flying, takes longer, but it's a cool way to go because you can see like the bottom of the ocean the whole way, right? So parting the river, an incredible miracle. You told the story of the purifying of the water that wasn't fit to drink, you know? And voila, what did he put into that, whoever read it? Salt, purifying, very interesting, and the people could enjoy it afterwards. That woman's oil kind of like went on and on as many bowls as she had. I bet you she was kicking herself that she didn't bring the JoJo down that and empty it out of the water and put it there, because that would have probably filled up with oil. You know, she could have been in the oil business if she had more faith, I guess. Dorian said that after Belinda's song this morning, that it's the faith that we have that bring us the blessing. And then he heals that barren woman, right? Well, he's the channel, the agent through which God is able to heal her. And a kid, a son is born. Huge. If you were that woman, you would have liked, this dude, he's special. And then just a while later, the son promptly dies, you know? But he's there again, and he prays for him, and he raises the dead. When his wife had burnt the food the one day, no, it wasn't his wife. There were some men having the stew and stuff, and it was spoiled, and he put some flour in it. I mean, that's not exactly common sense, right? But it was a miracle that happened. And lastly, in the ones that we chose, reminds us of Jesus, you know, multiplying the food, but there's bread that just gets passed all around. Try it with a croissant this week, you know, with your classmates maybe, and say and pray, and like, God, wow, you know. So incredible stories. I want you at your table now to tell a story of God's power, either from your own life or something you've heard. Okay, so where have you seen or heard or experienced God's power? Okay, and we'll write a new chapter for the Book of Kings. Go. So it's time to send someone up from your table who's going to share a story. One of the stories that you heard, short version. I know you all want to come from your table, so just maybe draw straws or something. Should we start with that table? Who's coming to share from that table? Come on, young man. Adidas.
They get a free seat when I'm done. Hey? They get a free seat when I'm done.
No, it's finished.
Like a story that happened to me.
Yeah, which
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, it was like, I think it was a month ago already. I had to do a speech, and then I was praying. I was like sitting right in front of Mam's desk, my teacher's desk, and then I had to do a speech on how to be happy. And so I just started praying in class that I wouldn't say my speech, and then Mam just ignored me for some reason. And now, since then, she hasn't asked me to say my speech yet.
Thank you. And every high school student said, amen. All right, here we go, next.
I'm going to be telling Umpo's story since she's a bit shy. Umpo had one arm hand that was shorter than the other, and someone prayed over her, and it grew.
Praise God, praise God. Okay, next table, who's coming up? Oh. And you obviously can share someone else's story as well. Thanks so much.
Okay, so last year my dad went on a film festival and he met this lady there who used to be a Muslim in, I think, Iraq or someplace. And then she became a Christian, and then she started getting all these like really threatening messages from these terrorists, and they're like, we've made it our mission to kill you, and we're after you and stuff. So she fled to America, and she still got all these messages, and like she was really scared, and they started praying. And then she sent them this message, and she was like, Jesus loves you, and I love you. And then the guy asked her, why do you love me? And he said, I've done all these terrible things. I've murdered people. I've raped people. I'm a terrible man. And she started preaching to him, and then he became a Christian.
Wow. Wow. How awesome is that? Okay. Table is coming forward. Come on, God's will. A popular vote.
Nah. All right. So when I was 7, while I was still in Uganda, my dad and my parents ran a church, like a little church, nothing big. And the one day, this man just kind of walked into the church all weird-like, and he was saying some funny things, and I'm small, so I didn't know what he was saying. But my dad just called him to the front, and he kind of smacked him on the head. And then the man fell. Then the man fell, and he was, like, shaking and writhing, and then something came out of his mouth. And that day was the day my dad performed an exorcism. And I was scared so much that I was crying for a week. So was my brother. And we were just like, no, that's not what happened. It's not real. Psh. But my dad was like, it happened. My mom was like, it happened. And we're like, okay. So, yeah, that's mine.
Wow. God's power. Awesome. Put his table. Come on, Christel. Oh, this is a Christel mark. Thank you.
Okay, so like, okay, this is a testimony about Futhi. You said I should. Okay, so a long time ago, she used to be physically abused by her uncle, and now she went to her parents and told them about it, and they've prayed for him, and he's getting help, and it's not happening anymore, so it's good.
Awesome. Last group. You guys have been, have you? No. Okay, someone. Oh, you've been. All right, so it's you guys. I thought there was just one more to go. Thanks so much. Yeah, twice in one day. This is big.
Okay, so when I was like 8 years old, yes, that's what Damien told me, I was climbing my massive tree at my back garden, and the branch snapped, and I fell head down onto one of the roots of the tree, and I woke up in hospital, and they told me that I cracked my skull and lost my balance system, so I couldn't stand or do things like that. Then the doctor told me that I'd never be able to play sport or be a normal person. And then everybody prayed for me, and now I'm fine.
How awesome is that? Okay, and I was going to ask you when you walked into the room this morning, did your mom drop you on your head when you were small? But I'm glad I didn't make that joke. Isn't it amazing how that we all have experiences, either personally or from a family member? There are these incredible opportunities to experience God's power. And today's about awakening our faith for what could be and what could happen, even next Sunday or throughout the week in our lives. So I want to share as I wrap up, because some scriptures obviously going to awaken us, you know, to experience this. So where could we tap into God's power? Well, whenever someone gives their life to Christ, that is the power of God at work. Because what happens in that, you know, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes. In that moment that I turn to Christ, God's power comes and breaks me free from the evil one. Because I'm in his kingdom, but I'm translated into God's kingdom. And so there's an opportunity to experience God's power. Secondly, whenever deliverance happens, and it might be as dramatic as what happened in God's will story, but it's whenever we get set free, whenever something, you know, has us bound, maybe even us as people, maybe we're still kind of like bound to the evil one's kingdom, because this is what the Bible says in Colossians 1. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So we like set free from the power of the evil one, and we are brought into incredible freeness. I just created a word. This doesn't sound right. Incredible freedom. Thirdly, healing takes place. And we heard stories of healing already in our midst. There's been nights at youth. I remember Friday night once where legs were growing and hips were straightening. And, you know, my son was praying over someone. He looked at me with these big eyes. Dad, it's moving in under my hands. Like, yeah, it's the power of God, you know? Now, let's start with Jesus. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with them. You might say, like, well, yeah, that's Jesus. You know, he was like God. Well, Jesus calls his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. And still you might be saying, well, they were with Jesus for 3.5 years, so duh, obviously they're going to have his miraculous power. But the book of Mark, my book in the Bible, says, no, I wrote it, and then it was a time travel type thing. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. This is anyone who believes in Jesus. That's us. That's you, me, and the next generation. There's also miracles that take place, and the smudges into healing or deliverance, but sometimes it's just miracles like we saw in that situation with Elijah, with those incredible miracles. And the whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through them. It seems like God wants to do signs and wonders and miracles. And sometimes we maybe don't believe. And lastly, whenever we engage in disciple making, whenever we go and share our faith with someone, we read, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. So we will have supernatural power to be able to speak up. Either God's going to delay the test, or he's going to give you power to speak in the test. And I hope when you do have to speak, he will give you that power. And so next Sunday, we want to talk about how do we go about accessing this power. How do we get it? How do we unleash it? What does it take? You know, does it take 3 weeks of fasting, or what is it? So make sure you are next week. Look out for opportunities to experience God's power in this coming week. And next week, I believe, is going to be huge. Be here or miss out big time. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for how you are alive and at work across the world. Otherwise, we couldn't have had all these stories to share this morning. We thank you that you've awakened our faith this morning, how that everyday people like Elisha could do incredible miracles. And Lord, I want to pray that during this week, these scriptures we've shared, these stories would come flooding back into our minds, and that in us would rise up this an eager anticipation that we could experience your power in and through our lives, that we could see a situation that needs fixing and we could step out and be your channel through which your power flows. And so we want to pray, God, that this week you would give us a glimpse of it already. You would remind us of things that have happened in our past life, in the life up until now, and that we would experience more and more of your power as we experience this series. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So don't miss next week. Genevieve will be sharing, and there will be some very practical experiences around this room of those five areas and maybe some more. God bless.